have known whom you have believed in. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This time let's turn in our hymn book as we worship the Lord together in our blue hymn book, Living Hymns. So thankful that we know Jesus no matter what happens in life. That sadly was amidst the shooting yesterday in El Paso, Texas. And where 20 people were pronounced dead, and then this morning in Dayton, Ohio, another shooter, and there was 9 or 10 more that were killed and more injured. They did get the shooter in Ohio, but it's just we know that if we were ever in a place like that Walmart or like that other place where that shooter came, that guess what? To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We'd instantly get promoted to glory, and we wouldn't have to worry about anything. But we think of all those who don't know Christ, who were in that situation. And so our hearts go out to them. And let us pray for the family members that don't yet know Christ, that perhaps there were some Christians that were taken. And so now the family members are thinking upon their life and saying, hey, that person knew the Lord. It's time for me to know the Lord. So pray for the many funerals that go out this week and next week, that the gospel would go out in a great and mighty way, that souls would be saved. What a great comfort that would be to the family members to see their family members getting saved. Let us turn in our hymn book as we worship the Lord. What number? Fifty-two. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Let us stand together as we sing this song. Sing that second verse. That third verse, we always want to, as we open the song, to worship the Lord in some way. Well, this song gives us a great way to worship the Lord. What are you thankful for this past week? To God be the glory. What something that He did in your life that you could just give Him all the glory for how He moved and worked in your life? He'll be first. Yes, Eric?
I thank God for being here and seeing all these people here, and pray for my sister.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Yes, James.
I'm granddaddy, waking up every morning.
Amen. Sister Mimi.
Praise the Lord for His faithfulness and for His church.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for you as well. Amen. Answer to prayer. Just walked in. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for baby Grayson with his upper respiratory infection, and that he needed special breathing treatment. And praise the Lord, the money came in for this special sock to help. How's everything going? Okay, what's the latest?
Well,
Okay, all right. How long was he in St. Christopher's?
Just for the day. We're not sure if there are a few days.
Okay, all right. We were praying through that time, and they thought it was possibly pneumonia.
Yes, pneumonia in both lungs.
Okay, all right. So we're praying. Around the clock, we have our church members are praying. We have other churches that are still praying. So I gave some the update of our sister churches that are praying. My wife gave the update to other sister churches. So we're keeping him in prayer. Absolutely. Amen. To God be the glory. Anyone else? What are you thankful for this week? Do you want to just give glory to God? Yes, Mrs. Wright.
She's doing very well in her health, but their vacation plans were scheduled to go beyond the state, and she would have been, her parents contacted them where they were, they had stayed with them, but they did not extend their vacation because they just didn't have peace about it.
Mm.
They were afraid about it, and they didn't have peace about it. And where they were up at the parents were at the top of a mountain in Alaska, and medical help was 2 hours away.
Amen. Stephen and Sarah consider themselves a part of our church, and they love and support this ministry, and so we're so thankful. If they would have had that longer extended vacation, she, who knows, you know, the Lord took care of her. Yes, Patty. Amen. Amen. We're thankful for you. And pray for Patty tomorrow. She goes to the cancer doctor, Dr. Pompa, to that way he can tell her what if she still has cancer or not. So let us pray especially for Patty and tomorrow as she gets that news, and also for a small financial need that Patty has as well. All right, anyone else? We don't want to leave anyone out. If you want to give glory to God, now's the time. Give glory to God. Yes, Therese. Amen.
So I want to say thank you, God, for everything that has been done in my life and my family life. I want to say thank you, God, the rest of my life. If I'm here today, I'm a blessing. Every day I wake up, I count my blessings.
Amen.
So I want to say thank you, God, for everything that has been done in my life and my family life and the church family and the family on this side. I want to say thank you.
Amen. Praise God. It's good to have our 97-year-old brother Arthur here with us. We're glad. Welcome, Brother Arthur. Good to have you with us this morning. One of our World War II heroes. Thank you for your service. And most importantly, thank the Lord that we're related in Jesus and we're going to heaven one day. Amen. Amen. Let us sing that third verse, men and boys, on the third. Nice and strong. Sing like a man and praise the Lord.
Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see.
Everyone, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear. 52.
Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father.
What a blessing to consider all that God is doing in our lives. Let's pray for El Paso, Texas, the community there, and Dayton, Ohio. I'm going to ask Pastor Logan. It's good to have him back. We've been praying dearly since he's been gone, and then he got sick down in Virginia, and has had trouble shaking it. So we're so thankful that Pastor Logan is here this morning. I don't know if you feel up to it. Do you feel up to praying this morning, brother? Not yet. Okay. So let's keep praying for Pastor Logan as he continues to heal, and that God would just help him get fully 100% better. And we know that at times the devil wants to discourage us with whether it's sickness, whether it's problems or emotional problems, whether it's someone leaving us, whether it's a family member disappointment. That the devil wants to get after us, but we are so thankful that the God of all comfort is our God. And that He comforteth us in all of our sorrow, that we may then later on comfort someone else and show them the comfort of God. So let us pray for Pastor Logan as well. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your greatness, Your glory, Your majesty this morning, that we don't deserve to even be here. If Your divine justice were done, that all of us as sinners would be cast into the lake of fire. We're so thankful for Your love, Your compassion, Your mercy, Your kindness to us, Lord, and in saving our souls, Lord, that day that we reached out and trusted Your Son as Savior, You reached out to us and put salvation in our heart, Lord. All we did was simply change our mind about sin and believe on Jesus as our Savior. Lord, we're so thankful for that free gift that You gave. We pray You'd be especially with those in Dayton, Ohio, and in El Paso, Texas this morning, as many family members are grieving the loss of loved ones. Lord, we pray that Christians would surround them and show them the good news of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that even the world, as I was listening to the radio yesterday, even the world sends greetings that when the president said, "And God be with all those, God be with you all who are hurting and grieving," that even the unsaved news media echoed that statement, that even the world knows how to respond in times of extreme sadness and loss, that they know that in their conscience that there is a God who made us and who gives life. And there's a devil that wants to take away life. Lord, we pray that You would just be with each one of these family members, that You just give them Your healing in their lives, that You would show them Yourself in a great and mighty way, that they would be saved for those that don't know Christ, and for those that do know Christ, that they would come back to You. Maybe some are backslidden, that they would realize that You are the only reason for living, and that they need to give their life back to You. And Lord, I pray You just minister in the churches there that are preaching the Word this morning, that You'd minister to all the communities. Minister to our nation, Lord. We know how desperately we have gone away from You and are trying to call evil good and good evil. That our nation is backwards, trying to say that sin is good and it's a virtue and it's something that should be taught in our schools. How sad we have come, how low we have come here in America. But we are so thankful that You are in control. You are still on the throne, and that one day that You say that the day of the Lord is as a thief in the night, and that You say 1,000 years is one day, and that the only reason You are waiting is for the salvation. The long suffering of the Lord is salvation of souls, Lord. That You still want those more souls to be saved each day that goes by, so that You can have Your full company ushered into heaven at the rapture. Lord, we pray that You would help us to have a part in this, Lord. We thank You so much this week on Tuesday that as Brother Daniel, Sister Hannah, my children, and I ministered on the boardwalk with the gospel, that You saved that 8-year-old Sophia, Lord, what a blessing to her dad, a joy, what a joy to her dad to know that his daughter is now safe in your arms. And as he called her a miracle baby, the doctors said to abort her, and the parent and the mom and dad said, no, we want to give life to this girl, and what a beautiful girl she is, that you turned everything around, and even though she's in a motorized wheelchair, that she has full faculty of mind, and that she just loves you, Lord, and we pray you just help us, Lord, to have patience and kindness with those who may lack physically, mentally, what we have, Lord, help us to see them as your special creation with a living soul. And for those that are too weak of mind to even come to a saving knowledge of Christ, that they are in your hands, that they are gone to heaven already, that they are not even able to understand the simple gospel message, so they are already in your hands, and you are going to one day take them into heaven, Lord. What a comfort that is to us, that you are the God of all comfort, and you are the God of mercy. Lord, I pray you just be with each one of us this morning, whatever we're going through, whatever pains in our body, that you heal us. Be with Sister Carol as she's away in California, who has a swollen knee. Lord, I pray as she's ministering there to her spiritual parents, missionary Charlie and Mary Nielsen, Lord, in their time of old age, Lord, we thank you that Carol cares so much about them, that she's there. We pray you just help her just to be such a blessing to Ken, the son, and to the parents, Lord, in such a mighty way that you just meet Charlie's needs, heal him, meet Mary's needs, Lord, that she can get around more and give her an appetite again so she can eat, Lord. But we know that one day soon that all of us will grow frail as you tarry, Lord, but we are so thankful that we know that our hope is in Jesus, that you will take us safely to the other side. What a comfort that is. And we pray for our dear missionary friends there. And we pray for those going away this week, that you take them from us in safety. Think of Pat Clark and Karen going down to Barbados, that you take them safely from us. Give them a wonderful 6 weeks there in Barbados. And they get things done and also are able to have opportunities to witness, Lord, that you give them spiritual fruit down there. And we think also of Alzina, Azaria, and Savan, and Grandma Maggie, that you just take them safely to Colorado and back for the next 14 days. You bless them. We pray you'd also be with any others that are traveling, Lord, that you just meet their needs and take care of them. And we pray for each one, Lord. We pray for Sarah, Carrie's sister, who is getting another son out of the colt, Lord. We thank you for the way that you're bringing them out one by one. We pray that now that Elon will come out and that he will be saved very soon, just like his younger sisters, and Rowie as well, just like his younger sisters, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to go and witness to them at the right time. And, well, Lord, we pray you'd bless this service for your honor and glory, Lord. We know that we have many needs, but we know that you are a need-meeting God, and bless our missionaries as they preach the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us sing another song in the hymn book. Let us turn to 130 in the red book. So let's see. In the blue book, we'll find it. Okay, it's in the red book and it's not in the blue book. So let's go over there. The love of God, number in the red book, 130. 130. Majesty book there. Okay. The love of God is greater than song or thank you.
saints and angels' song. He was in.
Second verse.
When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men here refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Saints and angels' song. How love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
And the third.
Could we within the ocean fill, were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Or could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky? Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Amen. God's love is so great. Let us turn to our Bibles for a scripture reading. And I forgot to mention a few here for prayer, so I'm going to ask Brother Hodge if you'd read our next scripture, Psalm 73, 13 through the end of the chapter. Psalm 73, 13 through the end of the chapter, and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to pray to you at any time of the day or night. We bring before you more of our church family here, Lord, that you would just do a mighty work of healing. We pray especially for baby Grayson, Lord, that you would just do a mighty work of healing. You just touch his body, his little lungs in a mighty way. You'd fully bring this pneumonia out. You just help him to cough fully and productively, Lord. And I pray you just heal him fully from this pneumonia. And I pray you just be with his mom and grandmom as they take care of him. And Grandpa, Lord, that you would just minister to them in a great and mighty way. Give the doctors and nurses wisdom as they seek to continue the treatment, Lord. We thank you that he's getting a little better each day. Lord, I pray you just heal him in a mighty way and be with the rest of his body. Give him strength where he needs strength in every part. We pray you'd also be with Pastor Logan, that you just put your healing hands upon him, Lord. That you give him strength to fully get out of this sickness. And as we miss him, being able to encourage us and being able to just say that word that's needed so many times, Lord. We all have a certain gift and talent, ability, and we're so thankful for each one in our church that uses their talent, gift, and ability for you, Lord, as it's so needed in the body. We pray you just bless now this time in your word and help us to understand it through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Psalm 73, 12 through the end of the chapter. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word.
Give each one a time to find the passage. Okay, let's read the passage. I read 1 and you read 12 and you use 13 right to the end. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches.
I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency.
For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning.
If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children.
When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end.
Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down in destruction.
How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors.
As a dream, when one awakens, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image.
Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins.
So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee.
Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand.
Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory.
Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee.
My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee.
Let's read 28 together. But it is good for me to draw near to God.
I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works.
May God bless to our hearts his words. You may be seated.
Amen. Let us go to our bulletin at this time. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. We're so thankful for each one that's here this morning. It's good to have Catherine and Lauren and baby Grayson and Viviana with us this morning. Welcome. Good to have you. And it's good to have Booker and Darlene and Elsie with us this morning. Welcome back. And good to have Karen and Brother Arthur with us. We're grateful for God's help on Brother Arthur to bring him out to church today. And his daughter that cares so much for him to bring him out. That's so important that we have people that will help us come to church. And it's good to have Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah. They've been working overtime this week, apart from each other the last few days. Brother Daniel's been helping Danny Rivera on his house, and Sister Hannah's been helping Karen with Roy while Carol's away. Carol's coming back tomorrow, but pray for her. She has a swollen knee, and she left her blood pressure medicine at home, so pray for her blood pressure as well. And so far, so good. So let us keep Carol in prayer. She was in the hospital on Saturday, but they said there's no blood clot and there's no water on the leg. So that's the good news. So let's keep Carol in prayer. And it's good to have Jerry and Mimi Umflett back with us. We're so thankful for them showing their support to our church. And they've moved from Virginia to our area. We're so thankful for them. And we look forward to getting to know them better as brothers and sisters in the Lord and co-laborers together with Christ. What a joy it is to meet those of like faith. And, of course, Danielle and David Stahl, so thankful for them being with us all summer, just ministering between their home church and here. And what a great blessing they've been. Just an encouragement and Bible time and all the ministries of the church. And so thankful for them and their service and their sons. Then we'll pray for Azaria, Savon and Alzina and Maggie as they go away from us this week. Then it's good to have Sister Eunice and Peggy with us, and Tommy and Julia and Alora. We're so thankful for all you. How was camp, Julia? Did you enjoy Calvary, Camp Calvary? Very good, yes. So she liked riding the horse, and she liked doing all the different things. So, and then Alora got to go to a different camp that week, and so we're so thankful for them. And today, all right. Okay, when's your birthday, Julia? 11th? 7th. Okay, so that's in 3 days, and we're celebrating today. So that's exciting. So we wish you a happy birthday, Julia. We'll have to sing to you right after church. All right. And just by way of announcements, say everyone have a bulletin. If you need one, just raise your hand. One of our ushers or junior ushers will be happy to get one to you. Our August memory verse, let's say it. The reference, verse and reference. It's on the left-hand page at the bottom there. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians 1:4. So the God of all comfort is able to comfort us, and therefore then we can pass it on to someone else who's going through problems, trials. They are part of this life, whether we're Christians or not, unsaved people. As we read in Psalm 73, the unsaved people, the psalmist was complaining. They're rich. All the unsaved people around me, they're rich, and they don't seem to have any cares, and they're prospering. And Lord, what's happened to me? I'm going through trials and tribulations, and seems like I'm not winning. And then the psalmist was brought into the sanctuary of God. He was brought into God's house, and he was reminded of God's promises in the Scriptures. That at any time, the unsaved person, if he stays unsaved, at any time he could go right into judgment, into hellfire. But we, as God's children, we will go right into His arms forever. And so the psalmist said, "I am as a beast. I am sorry, Lord. I was thinking very wrong thoughts." You know, at times we can have stinking thinking. And so we're thankful that God helps bring us out of our stinking thinking to think our thoughts of the Scriptures again and get that stinking thinking out of our minds. The Word of God renews our mind like a soap. Then just by way of other announcements, come on back tonight. We're looking at the Christian's warfare and the Christian's delight, 2 Timothy 2. Come on back tonight for that special message from 7 to 8 o'clock. Then this week I'm available Tuesday morning at 10, Thursday night at 7, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Or over a meal if you'd like that, 4 visits this week. Encouragement to our church family. So if you would like me to come to your house, please let me know right after the service, and I'd love to be able to do that this week. Anything you need to pray about or talk about. Or if you'd like to come here and meet here, that'd be fine as well. And my wife would be available to come in, or Deacon Hodge, whatever is needed. So let me know today. Then our next Sunday, we're going to have a crockpot luncheon and party. August 11th, next Sunday, right after the morning service. We want to send Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah away with our love, and with our prayers, and with the potential of whatever God is doing in their life, that His goal is to sell His house in Argentina and to move to Spain to be with His son. They both want to move and bring the family over with them, that they can start a church or take over a church. There's a good Baptist church there in Valencia. Why don't you share about that possibility?
You can say, I don't know statistically, but how many churches that don't have pastors, even we are talking about Baptist faithful churches that they need. So also our idea is to go to with our son, of course, that's what moves us first, to keep the family together. We have one son that, so we are very attached to him. As you can see, he's very caggy and kitty, but he does that in the right way, you know, very family. And you can see for you, he immediately loves the church.
Amen.
He feels family at the church. So we are trying to move there, and Ezekiel went to a Baptist church there, and they say, well, we have no pastor, your dad is coming, so they are very open to at least someone to help them, you know.
Wonderful.
So, and maybe we can lead them in the right way too, you know.
Amen.
Nowadays, not every Baptist church walks in the right way. they walk close, but know the right way.
Mm.
So that's the purpose. And so please pray for us to sell our house, which sounds very easy. It's kind of a miracle there in Argentina because of economic situation is so bad. So you picture the idea. The first time we were here, I was making $1,800 a month. Now we are making $400 a month. That's the economy, that's the inflation, and everything the cost is the same. Gasoline actually is more expensive, milk is the same in dollars. So life is complicated. So we are wasting our life there. We want to move to Spain for that. So pray for that miracle that we can sell our house so we can have the meanings to do all this. You know, we don't want to hold the house and feel like, oh, that's our safety. We want to put that at move.
Amen.
To God. So pray for that.
Amen. Amen. So let's pray, and then possibly about, of course, praying for them, but also possibly supporting them as they plant that, replant that church and help it go forward and whatever the Lord does from there. So let us pray specifically about that for Daniel and Hannah. So next Sunday, bring a food item with you. Everyone can bring something, even if you bring a drink or a bag of chips or a dessert or something, or some kind of food item or side item to share. And please stay with us right after the service as we have just a great time rejoicing with them. They've been such wonderful servants of the Lord this summer, and so we want to show our thankfulness. We also have the heart container. Brother Hodge, can you get the heart container out of the side room, and we'll put that at the back if maybe you're not going to be able to be here next Sunday. So please, as the Lord has prospered us through their ministry, let us give back to them and show them tangibly how much we care and how much we appreciate all they've done this summer. So we want to take up a love offering for them. So the heart container will be back there momentarily. So as you leave, you can give that in that, or if you want to designate on your check, or if you want to designate on your envelope, a portion to Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah, just write on there, Revollo, R-E-V-O-L-L-O, and that'll go right to them. And let us pray that their house sells quickly. Then on the right below that, this month, August 18th, we have missionaries Jed and Gloria Duarte going to Brazil. They are coming and preaching for us in the morning service. So we look forward to meeting them. They're a faithful couple that love the Lord. They have one child, a baby, and they are called to the mission field. What a wonderful thing that is, to preach the gospel to a new area. Then on the back page, this month, August, is Salvation, Baptism, and Membership Sundays. So each Sunday, we invite you to come. If you're not baptized yet, come and get baptized in our wonderful heated baptistry, and you could share your testimony how and when you came to Christ, and you can get baptized to be a part of this church, and then to join the church. If you would like to join the church, we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning, enthusiastic, caring church that loves the Lord Jesus and wants to reach out to our community with the gospel, and then disciple believers. So if you'd like to be a part of this church, we'll, Brother Hodge and I can give you a church constitution, and you can read over that and see our statement of faith. Everything we believe is right from the Bible. You know, nothing hidden, no hidden agenda or anything. It's right from the Bible. And then how we practice, how business meetings go, what's the responsibility of deacons, what's the responsibility of the pastor, what about other members of the church, you know, what are some other roles that can be served in the church, etc. So there's many places to serve the Lord, and we want you to serve, fulfill God's purpose for your life in serving Him. That's when I get the most joy out of life, is when I'm serving the Lord. If I were doing something else, if I were selling cars, you know, and God called me to the ministry, I'd be the most miserable car salesman out there. Yeah, I might have more money, but I'd be miserable. Why? Because I'm not in the will of God. And that's what we all need to get into the will, stay in the will of God, get in the will of God, so that we feel that joy and purpose of God in our life. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. And of course, there's many benefits. You say, what do I get out of being a member? Well, there's many benefits of being a member of God's local churches. And it says it in here, seven reasons how we get benefited by being a member.
Let us bow together in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Let's turn back in our hymn book as we worship the Lord. One final hymn before our message. And let us sing this song day by day and with each passing moment. And the hymn number is 448. 448. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. 448. It's not... Okay, maybe it's in the red. We'll find it in the blue book. It's in here. Okay, it's 529 in the blue book. 529 in the blue book. Let's sing the first and the last of this song. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is guided beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, with pain and pleasure, in his joy with peace and rest. Help me then in every tribulation, verse 3, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation, offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand. One by one the days of moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Amen. You may be seated. Let us dismiss at this time. Do we have special music today?
Yes.
We do. Okay. I'm going to ask the Hodges to come for special music at this time. Thank you.
Okay.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, God's only son. Be very sure. Very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. Amen. Very appropriate song in light of the tragedies that happened yesterday and today that we never know. And so our job is to tell people. This time we'll dismiss our young people, those sixth grade and younger, to go with Mrs. Hodge for youth church and to learn on their own age-appropriate level the Word of God and to instill those principles in them. Let it, the rest of us, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. Genesis 48. We see our need for God. From Jacob through his life, we see Jacob, when he started, didn't need God. And when he was young, didn't need God. But then at age 20, he saw God face to face and realized, whoa, I need God. And then that's when he got saved. And then slowly, just showing God, showing him that he needs him every single day of his life. And his dependence needs to be upon God. And by the end of Jacob's life, we find not the deceiver, supplanter, we find the prince with God. The one who said, God, I need you every day. And so in Genesis 48 and verse 8, we read of Joseph and his sons. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word. We pray you just bless this time, Lord, that we would be mindful of the principles in it, that we would love you with our whole hearts, because we know it, whom have I in life beside thee, O God. You are all we have. You are our possession. You are our inheritance. You are our joy. You are our crown that one day we will go to be with you. You are our Savior. Lord, we look forward to these wonderful coming days ahead to be in your kingdom for all eternity, to rejoice and to see Jesus who died on the cross, to see you, O Father, and to be able to look upon you and to be able to see you who made us and who saved us and to rejoice in your presence with all the saints who have gone on before. Lord, we look forward to these things. But we know you have us here for a reason. Lord, and while we're here, we pray that you would help us to be mindful of these principles, that even though we don't see you physically, that we need to see you every day spiritually. And help us that you would instill these things in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray you'd fill me with thy spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 48, verse 8, And Israel beheld Joseph's sons, and said, Who are these? And Joseph said to his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. That's an important part of life, is as we see our children and our grandchildren, we need to kiss them and embrace them. We need to tell them we love them. You know, we cannot take it for granted that they know we love them. Or those of our spiritual family, you know, in church. Hey, let's give a hug. You know, that give a hug to your younger sister or here. Or give a hug, if you're a man, to your younger brother or to your older brother. Tell him how much you love him and how much you appreciate his influence in your life or her influence. It's important that we show that expression of love. And verse 11, and Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So here, Joseph brings Ephraim and Manasseh, and he puts Ephraim by Jacob's left hand. He puts Manasseh by Jacob's right hand. But as they were coming over, guess what Jacob does? He switches hands. He puts his right hand, or his left hand upon Manasseh's head, and he puts his right hand, the hand of blessing, the hand of the first birthright, upon Ephraim's head. And guiding his hands wittingly. He knew what he was doing because God told him, listen, Manasseh, even though he was born first, it's actually Ephraim that's going to get the first blessing. So he gave him his right hand and he gave Manasseh his left hand. And why? Because God chose Ephraim. Sure enough, Ephraim became such a large tribe that they were often representative of all northern tribes. All 10 northern tribes, they were often called Ephraim. And why? Because Ephraim was so big and so blessed of God. And so we see that God was blessing Ephraim, and Manasseh was also getting blessed. It wasn't that Manasseh was going to have a cut rate blessing, but that Manasseh was also flourished as well. He became a large tribe. And why? Because God knows what he's doing when he does things. Perhaps he saw something in Ephraim that was even more earnest than Manasseh. That God rewards us according to our diligence for him. You know, his choice servants, he treats choicely. You know, those who, if you want to get on in God's special favor and special graces to where he puts you, you know, elevates you to more blessings, do more for him. Serve him. Serve the Lord. It's such a wonderful principle. We cannot outgive God. The more I say, Lord, I help me manage my schedule to the maximum so I can serve you most. And you know what? He helps and enables that. He gives wisdom and guidance, and he sometimes redirects the day, and he does this and that. Why? Because I want the maximum blessing from God. And that was Jacob's heart as well. He wanted the maximum blessing from God. And so he at 40 years old, when he completely surrendered to God, or about that age, he wanted the maximum blessings from God. And so God had to continue to refine him and shape him. And he did. He got the maximum blessings from God because of his obedience to God. And that's what we need in life. We don't need, you know, and I've heard Christians, there's a group of Christians in today's day and age that says, you know what? Life is hard. Life is full of trials and tribulations. So it's time to do less in the Christian life because we've got to think about our own selves and all our problems. And we go back and we look at all our problems. You know, and there is a group of Christians, and it's, unfortunately it's growing, and it's growing in momentum, and there's a group of Christians that are growing in sadness and sorrow over their own problems, and in fact laziness. And so they say, do less, do less, do less. But is that the God whom we serve? Do less for him, because he's not really worth that much. You know, do less, don't spread the gospel too much, because you never know if you might have to need some energy for yourself. No, the point is when we serve God and obey him,
You know, I go out and I minister to someone else. You know, I got such a blessing out of ministering to Sophia. What a blessing that was. By the way, we have to give out our traveling trophy. Sharing the good news of the gospel in your part of the world. We want to give that to Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah for coming out to the boardwalk and handing out, Paul, how many tracts did we hand out on Tuesday?
Three
stacks like this. So you do the math, 600 or so tracts. And I'm so thankful for Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah. Let's give them a round of applause for many, many people who some said no, but many said yes. And they said no initially coming down, no, I don't want to talk. And then they'd hear the preaching. And they'd hear how God loves them and how the devil is a liar, thief, and murderer and wants to blind them to their sin and how we're all sinners. We've all lied, cheated, stolen, and lusted or said bad words and that the penalty for sin is death and hell and that Jesus died on that cross to save us and his precious blood can wash away all our sins. And you just see the change in their demeanor and saying, wait, I need one of those. And they'd either go back to Daniel, or they'd go and find someone, Hannah over on the other side, or they'd come and find me, and they'd get a tract. Why? Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That it arrested their attention, and they saw they needed Christ. Whether they did it right there or not, they saw they needed to learn more about what we were preaching of Jesus. And so here we see when we focus on all our problems, and we say, oh, I've got to devote all my time and energy into this problem and that problem and the other. No, I don't. Lord, I don't have time to tell anybody about you. And I don't have time to minister for you. Lord, I got my own problems. When we say that, what we're in effect saying to God is, you're not powerful enough to help me. And I've got to help myself. God, I know you made heaven and earth, and you made everybody, all billion, you know, all 8 billion people here on this earth, and you made all everything we see, and all the trees, the grass, the flowers, the mountains, the beauty of this earth, and you made this solar system and all the galaxies that we're still seeing more and more into, but you're just not big enough to solve my problems here. So I got to help you out, take care of you. No, that's such a small view of God. The devil is trying to narrow our view of God, put him into this little shell, this little box, that he is a God who's weak and can't do much. And anytime you give to God, you're going to have to pay for it. And you're going to... No, every time I give to God, God gives me more in return. And then every time I reach out, you know, we ministered to this 8-year-old girl who is physically in a wheelchair. And guess what? Her dad and I got to lead her to the Lord right there with my daughter's present. And guess what? I went and turned around and the needs that we had at the church, the needs that I had in my house, guess what God did while I was doing that? Taking care of them. It went like that. Snap, snap. You know, Brother Danny and I got the other thing done for the church, the hot water heater. Snap, snap. You know, the other thing that we had to attend to. Snap, snap. It got done. Helped Brother Roy. You know, the other things got done. Why? Because we helped someone else meet their very most important need, which is the salvation of their soul. That's the principle. We turn around and we go to our problems and say, "Whoa, what happened? My problems are a lot smaller." And there's a lot less problems. God, what'd you do? And he says, I helped you. You helped me. You served me. I helped you. Only God's help is a lot bigger than our help. You know, we give our small portion of help, and God gives his bigger portion of help. And so we cannot outgive the God who has given us all things. And that's what Israel or Jacob was trying to tell his sons. Listen, you serve God because he is, number one, he is worthy of all our service. But number two, because you cannot outgive him. He's going to bless you. To the proportion. One man became literally thousands upon tens of thousands upon hundreds of thousands. That's the multiplication God did with Jacob's sons. One man, Manasseh, Ephraim, became hundreds of thousands. That's what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. Some sowed... And they reap 30-fold. Can you imagine? You sow one seed and you get 30-fold back. You sow a certain amount of seeds, you reap 30 times the increase. some 60-fold. You reap, you know, you sow your seeds and you reap 60 times what you sowed. Wow, what a great blessing that would be. And then Jesus said some 100-fold. You know, God wants to reward us, but He can only reward us in the proportion of our love for Him and our service for Him. And so one day at the judgment seat of Christ, when Jesus hands out the rewards, he's gonna say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have made thee ruler over these things, and you multiplied your talent. You multiplied this talent. You multiplied that talent. You used your spiritual gift, and you cultivated it, and God blessed it. And I blessed it, and here's what you did in life. Here is that crown of whatever. You name one of the five crowns that we can earn. And that crown of righteousness, or the crown of glory, which fadeth not away, or the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown, or the crown of the incorruptible crown for running and a life that you kept under your body to try to stay close to God, or the crown of hope that loves His appearing. One of those five crowns, or the pastor's crown, the crown of glory, the elder's crown, that you can have a part in that by being a faithful church member. Right. Supporting your pastor that's trying to preach the word, support that local church, you can have a part in that pastor's crown. And I believe all will rejoice in that crown, all the faithful church members. And so this is the part that we can play. And sure enough, Jacob understood it, and he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. In verse 16, he says, the angel, or verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. He thanks God for feeding him all his life. Every day, Lord, you gave me food to eat, water to drink, for not just for me, but for all my family, for all my employees, for all the flocks and the herds. Verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Here we see this wonderful prayer. He says, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Jacob was a prince with God because he had power with God. Sure enough, did that come true? Yes, we still see the fruit of Jacob all around us. You see a Hasidic Jew, the kind with the ringlets coming out their ears, or the special hat. Or if you see an Orthodox Jew, or if you see just a regular Jew who's not necessarily living set apart. And every Jew we see, you know what? That's a reminder that God has kept His promise to Jacob. And He has multiplied them. And that they are still the apple of His eye. That shouldn't make us as Christians feel like, oh, you know, I'm less. No. We are His church. We are His bride. And we are members of His local church body. And you know, we are His special people here to minister the gospel. Unfortunately, the Jews are not going with that vision right now. And they're blinded to their vision, and they're just in their own little world and selfish. But yet, we cannot turn and scorn them. God says, as Paul said, we love Israel, and that we wish them to be saved, and we need to provoke the Jew unto jealousy that they can see us as Gentiles, that we have a special relationship with God, to provoke them to jealousy. Say, hey, wait, we're the people of God, and I don't even have a close relationship with that Gentile over here, that Goyim, you know, what's going on? That should stir their heart to say, I need to see Jesus. And many Jews are getting saved today. Many Jews. And so let's not discount witnessing to our Jewish friends and neighbors. But nonetheless, we see God keeps His promises. And then when the rapture happens and we're taken off the earth, guess what? The Jews are going to be all of a sudden, they're going to get saved at just a fast, rapid rate, 144,000, and then all the ones they witness to and win to the Lord. And so the Jews are then going to take up their mantle as the gospel-giving people again. And they're going to bless the whole earth.
And so here we see God keeps his promises. Verse 17, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. So here we see Jacob knowingly moved his hands, and Jacob said, don't worry, Joseph, just because Manasseh is getting a little bit less of the blessing than Ephraim, who's getting the birthright, don't consider it a slight, because they're both going to be very large tribes, very blessed. And Joseph, I am giving you an extra. Normally Joseph would have only had one inheritance, but because he was faithful to God, because he stayed pure when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, because he stayed right with God when they threw him into slavery, and he had a good attitude in service under slavery, because he in prison he stayed right in his attitude toward God, and because then when he was ruler he was stayed right in his attitude toward God, knowing that God gave him this position to save many people alive, as he told his brothers, that because Joseph kept that right relationship with God through his life, God gave him not just one, but two portions of the blessing. Two portions. And so God does reward faithfulness and diligence. Don't, let's not look at our brothers and sisters who are less than faithful, and who are doing the Sunday morning church thing, or are just literally, clocking in, clocking out, and that's all they want, or just doing the very minimal for God, or just let's not look at them with jealousy. Well, look, they're living for God somewhat, but then they're also getting all they can out of this world. They have the best of both worlds. No, when we have our feet in the world and our foot in God's house, we're caught in the middle. We're on the fence. And we're compromising. And it's not a fun life. Because then we feel guilty because we're not living for God. And then the world says, hey, you're not fully in with us. You're a Christian. You don't get out of here. And so then they're disinvited by the world all the time. And so that Christian who's on the fence, they don't have an easy life. They probably have it harder. Why? Because they are a little miserable inside. Why? Because they're backslidden. Backslidden Christianity is not something to be jealous over. It's something to be avoided at all costs. No, I don't want to lose my joy. No, I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to just be a nominal Christian. I want to be all in for God. God has done great things for me. The world and its vices, those vices hold nothing for me. I want Jesus. He is greater than all those things. And that's what Jacob realized in his life. And that's what Joseph realized in his life, that, hey, don't live on the fence. Live for God. And sure enough, God blessed Joseph with two great boys and many grandsons or grandchildren. Verse 49, chapter 49, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Then defiles thou it, he went up to my couch. Here Reuben, he wanted to establish himself, as we talked about last week, as the heir to the first birthright that was given to Ephraim. He wanted that so much, and he wanted to let all the family know how he was in charge. And he went and laid with his father's
concubine, Bilhah, and as a result, his father was very displeased, and as God was very displeased. That's what the pagans did. That's what the Canaanites did. That kind of abuse of their family and of their position. That's what the world does. You know, anytime we sink to the world's level, you know what? God hates it. It aggravates him to no end. He just wants to spew us out of his mouth anytime we go to the world's level. But don't think, well, you know, I already did that, so God hates me. No, God doesn't hate you. He hates what you did, but he can help make it better. He can turn it around, but we've got to hate the sin that got us there. We've got to hate it with a passion and say, I'm never going to do that again, because that was wicked and it was sinful against God. And so we see Reuben lost his firstborn birthright because of his defilement of his father's couch. And so we see then in chapter 5, verse 5, Simeon and Levi are our brethren, instruments of cruelty are they in their habitations. O my son, soul, come not into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. As we talked about last week, they, because their sister Dinah was defiled and raped by a man of Shechem, they went and they took it out on all the men of Shechem. And they were very violent men. And as a result, God judged their violence and said they would not inherit. That Levi, the Levites, even though they were the priests and the ones who would help the priests, they never had a possession. They never owned any land of their own. They always had to be in other tribes' cities. Why is that? Well, because of what Levi did. And Simeon never got his own land. In fact, Simeon was always talked about with, his land allotment was shared with Judah, Joshua 19:9. It was always shared with Judah that he never got his own. Why? Because God hates murder. God hates hatred. God hates where anger takes us, to bitterness, discontentment, to complaining, a complaining spirit, a spirit of a critical spirit all the time. You know, that's where anger will take us. If we don't come to God every day and say, Lord, help me to forgive those who've hurt me. Lord, help me to forgive my family members who've hurt me, my friends, my loved ones, my church family at times who offends me. Lord, help me to forgive and love them, and help me to be kind to them in return. If we don't come to the Lord in that way often and regularly, anger is going to start to build up in our heart. And bitterness. Anger will then lead to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will then lead to discontentment and bitterness. And bitterness will then lead to horrible, horrible things that will destroy our life. And that's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right. We can always find fault. There's fault everywhere we look. If we're looking for fault, we're going to find it. Why? Because we're sinful humans. And we live among sinful humans. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect job. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect anywhere. Why? Because we're human beings with a sin nature. And so one critical complaint leads to another complaint, until a person gets a critical spirit. No, everywhere they look, everyone's always doing wrong. And everyone's always doing them wrong. And you know where that leads? To a place of very unhappy Christian. A Christian that's not feeling the forgiveness and love of God because they're not giving it out to anyone else. And it's a sad place to be. Well, that's what happened to Simeon and Levi. They kept their anger in, and they took it out in big aggression. And so we cannot do that. But then we see Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Judah started out bad as a father. He didn't train his son Onan and Ur. They went away. They rebelled horribly against God. They were killed. And then his third son, Shelah, he was supposed to give him to their brother's wife, which was Tamar. And he never did that. He did not keep his end of the bargain. And as a result, she then had a son by Judah himself. And as a result, then God turned about what was a sad sin and another sad sin of what he did to her. But then God turned that around because Judah changed his mind about life. He changed his mind about God and said, you know, God, instead of living for myself, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to live for you. And from then on, we see as he then treated Joseph, as he then treated Benjamin, as he then responded to his father, later on, as he's an older man in life, he says, Dad, listen, you can count me 100% responsible for anything that happens to Benjamin. You can take it out on me, because I'm taking full responsibility for this family. And I'm not going to let things happen to these young ones anymore, because I am going to be a man of integrity. Judah stood up later on in life and became, just like Jacob, a prince. It took him a while, but he did it. And that's what we need to see. It's not too late for us to change, to become a prince or a princess with God. Whatever phase of life we're at, we can become a prince or a princess with God. But it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some diligence. It's going to take us coming to God every day, saying, Lord, I need you. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be reminded of these great truths from your word, that you show us how people turned out and what choices they made so that we could learn that these are all in here in the Old Testament for an object lesson to us of testimonies of faithfulness and unfaithfulness and those who started out bad and then turned good. But we thank you that those are in there that remind us that, hey, no matter where we're at in life, that we can change to be like you, to let your Holy Spirit have more and more of us. Lord, we pray that you'd do that even today, that you'd help us to give over things. And we pray at this communion time, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask Deacon Hodge to come as we close this service with communion. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11, as we have this invitation time, that in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, For I received, I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That Jesus took that bread and he broke it right in front of his disciples and said, This is what's going to happen to my body tomorrow. They're going to break open my body. With their fists, with their hands, with their whips, with their crown of thorns, with their spear, that my body is going to be literally broken open. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. This cup, as we see the liquid grape juice in there, he showed his disciples, he said, This is my blood, which is going to be poured out for you tomorrow. It's going to be, my body is going to be broken, my blood is going to be spilled out. It's going to be purposely given for you, for your sins. What an object lesson the disciples, you know, think of that very next day as they heard about what happened to Jesus, what was happening. As John got to see it firsthand, and the others were hiding in their closets, in their homes, or wherever, how they heard about, sure enough, oh, it happened. Jesus' body was broken. His blood was shed. And they thought back to that night before and they said, that was the Last Supper that he had with us. Oh, he did it. He did it. He gave everything for us. And it says in verse 26, For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. This is a beautiful picture. These unleavened cracker that has no leaven in it, no yeast in it, is a beautiful picture. That when we put it in our mouth, we're remembering what Jesus did, his broken body, his love for us. And when we put that grape juice to our mouth, we're reminded of the sadness as his blood was shed in our place. That his blood was the only thing that could wash away all of our sins. Only thing. And he said, to do this, show the Lord's death till he come. You know, when the rapture happens, we'll be in heaven. No need for it anymore. We're going to see Jesus face to face. When he comes to take us in death, guess what? No more need for it anymore. We'll be in his presence till he comes. Why are we to do this? Well, we're to do it often. So
often. It shouldn't be, okay, once a year. You know, it should be often. Regularly enough that it's put before our hearts and our eyes regularly. As often as you do it. And regularly. But not too often, because if you do it too often, then it becomes a ritual. Something your heart's not in anymore. Something that you just do just as out of obligation. So to do it often and regularly, but not as a ritual. And so that's why here at Northfield Baptist Church, we do it once a month on the first Sunday of the month as a reminder, as a good time to show the Lord's death. But then secondly, verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So the whole purpose is, yes, number one, to remember what Jesus did and to thank him. And number two, to examine our hearts. Lord, am I right with you? Am I confessing my sins? Am I seeking to not stay in sin, but to run to your arms for forgiveness? And so we should examine ourselves to run to Jesus for forgiveness of any sin in our life. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one another. So here we see that we should examine ourselves so that we don't get chastened, or so that God doesn't have to chasten us. And, oh, I just took communion again, just like always. No, well, if we're not ready to take communion, if we're not wanting to get rid of a certain sin in our life, better just to say, you know, Deacon Hodge, just put up your hand, refuse, or pass it down to the next person. Just put up your hand. Better to refuse, if you know you're not going to get rid of a certain sin, than to partake and thereby partake God's judgment into our body. So this is a serious thing. But it should also be a delightful thing. A delightful thing to come before his presence. To know that he wants us close to him. And wants us to see what he actually went through for us regularly. And so this is a blessing to think about. So let us have a time of silent prayer before the Lord. I'm going to ask our deacon to come. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel Rivolo to come and help Mr. Hodge with this time of communion. Mr. Hodge, would you lead us in prayer as we thank the Lord for his broken body?
Dear God, we truly thank you this day, Lord, for our Savior, Lord Jesus, how he died on the cross for us, and how he shed his own blood. Most of all, Lord, we think of his broken body. As partake of this right this day, Lord, it reminds us of your broken body. Help us, Lord, to ever be thankful. We give you praise and glory for what you have done for us. And to you, Lord, we give the glory, praise, and thanks. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Psalm 22, a messianic psalm about Jesus being on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Jesus said, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Ask our men to come once again as we thank the Lord for his shed blood for us on the cross. Brother Daniel, would you please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this chance we have to be at the table remembering you. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, for the shedding of your blood, for the big sacrifice and the big salvation we have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be thankful, not only with words, but to be thankful with our lives to you. Help us, Lord, to be in your ways, to please you, Lord, to change every day our ways and to get closer to your ways, the ways that you are teaching us through the scripture, through the preachings we hear every Sunday. We praise your holy name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. After the same manner also Jesus took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Let us all stand as we close. As Jesus closed the Last Supper, he says they prayed, then sung in him, then went out. So we'll do the same way Jesus closed the Last Supper by praying, then singing in him, sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. We ask Brother David Stahl, would you close us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you that this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. And rejoice in it. All the cost. Lord, we pray that you would help us be thankful, that we would honor you for it. Lord, we pray that you would help us to go out today, not the same. Help us to change, help us to separate ourselves from the world, to live for you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.